today on Living on Every Word.
The assignments of God. Assignments. Where God comes along and gives specific things to every single one of us to influence lives. It might be a fellow worker that's in need, that's struggling, that's hurting, and God has you on assignment. What will your assignment be tomorrow?
Assignments. Whether in school or on the job, we are all used to being given assignments. But when God gives us an assignment, what does that look like? Today, Pastor Mike Fritcher discusses how God gives each of us tasks to accomplish. In today's message, Assignments from God. Living on every
word. So good to have you this morning. My prayer for you that this new year would be just phenomenal year for you. We're just really excited about what God's doing, some of the places that God's pointing us to, some of the places that we've been and will continue to be. And I want to pray for you and over you today, asking God's blessing upon you this week, the new year. Let's pray together. Father God, I pray that you would point us, first of all, to you. That our faces would be fixed on you, not on an agenda, not on a resolution, Lord, not on some kind of life change that needs to be taking place, but God, on you and you alone first. That God, that we'd seek you first this year, and that we'd see all these other things fall into place. That Lord, that we'd love you first and not fall from our first love, but Father, to love you first and most. God, I pray that we'd walk by the Spirit, that we'd be thankful for all things, that God, that we would confess you as Lord in every circumstance, and that God, that we would love you and love others as you've called us to. Fill us this year, we pray. And Father, that we may be about the Father's business, that we'd see darkness pushed back in our lives, in the places that we are. God, come. Fill this year with hope and grace and life, we pray. We thank you and bless you and give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
I think what's so great about a day like this is as we've prayed for people from our body who are heading out somewhere that are just following God's leadership, and it's a call, and also not only a call, but a specific assignment that God has given to them for this season of their lives. I've been thinking this past week about, as I was preparing actually for a different sermon, I was thinking about this whole thought of the assignments of God. The assignments that God gives to every single one of us in certain seasons of our lives. I sometimes will think of a word like assignment and we'll go to Webster's original dictionary, and he says that an assignment is an appointment to a particular person or a particular use. It's a project, it's a task, or a particular job. It's a particular task that has a time and a place and a person or people connected to it. And in the Christian life, it always has to do with the call of God on our lives. Now, the call of God is a little bit different from the assignment of God. The call of God is what we all share in Christ. If you are a believer in Christ Jesus, we all have a call on our lives. That call is found in many different ways. It's described in many different ways, but basically it's the same. We're all called to God to worship Him and to serve Him. And when you look at that calling of worshiping God and moving toward God and serving Him, there's some very specific things about the call that we all share in common. First of all, it's a call to love. We're all called to love. We're all called to love God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. It's a calling to God. But it's also this call to love our neighbor as ourselves. And that is common to every one of us. None of us are exempt from loving God and loving our neighbor. And so we share that. We share that common call. A second thought is that we're called to the overarching mission of God, that to make Him known. We can look at the call to love in Luke 10:27. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. We're also called to this overarching mission of God, and we've known it as the Great Commission when Jesus comes and speaks to the disciples in Matthew 28:18, and he says to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. It's the same call, but oftentimes it's a different assignment. And most of us need to come to that kind of grips in our lives. It's not just the missionary that's being sent, but it's every one of us being sent into the community to have influence in people's lives. But every one of us here in this place today, every one of us here today will have some sort of assignment. The call will be the same, but the assignment will be different. It's real interesting when you look at the chapter in Luke, when the Luke passage of loving God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself, the person who asks the question about what he must do to have eternal life, he asks the next question. He says, well, who is my neighbor? And then you have this story of an assignment of a good Samaritan. He's on assignment to love his neighbor and to take care of this fallen Jew that is his enemy, to take care of him. Assignments. They're filled in Scripture, where God comes along and calls and then gives specific things for every one of us to do, and everyone does. Call never changes, but assignments do. And we ought to rejoice in that, but we also ought to be challenged to know that I'm going to get up in the morning and I'm going to go to certain places that God's called me to love God, to love neighbor, and to proclaim His name, and that has a specific assignment. Your assignment is often related to the way that God has gifted you, the passions that God gives to you. And so it doesn't really matter as far as what you do. What it is are you following the glory of God to that place of what you're doing? Think about what you'll be doing tomorrow in your jobs. Now, you might think, oh man, get up in the morning and it's Monday, okay? And I've got to go to this job, okay? Well, if you think of it that way, you will miss the opportunities before you of the assignments that God has before you. It might be a fellow worker that's in need, that's struggling, that's hurting, and God has you on assignment for that specific day to make impact and to make influence. Matter of fact, when you go to Scripture, you see this all over. It's filled with assignments. I mean, you think about raising children. Zacharias and Elizabeth had the assignment of raising John the Baptist. Joseph and Mary had this assignment of raising Jesus. And if you're a parent, you're on assignment today to raise those children, to raise your children in the fear and instruction of God. That's what God calls us to do. But then you go to the Old Testament, you see Moses' assignment to deliver Israel from Egypt's bondage. Joshua's assignment to conquer the land. David had a call to lead God's people, but his assignments were diverse, whether it is to attend to Saul and serve him, or to kill Goliath, or to be a leader in the army and eventually made king. Noah was to build the ark, and Philip was to lead an Ethiopian official to Christ, and Abraham was to go to a country that God would show him and establish the illustration of faith of how we are to believe in Christ. Assignments. Assignment from God, and you are on assignment. I think of one of the stories in Scripture in Acts, the book of Acts, which I think ought to be called the book of assignments, because that's exactly what they are. The book of assignments. People giving assignments to fulfill this great commission and this great commandment to love God and to disciple people. And if you turn to Acts chapter 9, you just have this great little story of an assignment given to a man by the name of Ananias. Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 19. Now, chapter 9, verse 1 has the story of the Apostle Paul's conversion. And in chapter 10, we have a man that will enter Paul's life to influence Paul. Now notice in chapter 9, verse 1, that Saul is still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. And he went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Okay. So this guy is a rabid hater of God or Christ and the church. And he's persecuting the church. And he's making great inroads in that persecution and in popularity with his Jewish counterparts or his Jewish people. And the Bible says he's breathing threats and he's breathing murder against the disciples of the Lord.
And as he was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus whom you are persecuting. You get up and enter the city, and it will be told you what you must do. And the men who traveled with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he couldn't see anything. He could see nothing. And leading him by the hand, they brought him into Damascus, and he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat nor did he drink. So there's 3 days. He's blind, he's not eating anything, he's fasting, he's praying, the Bible will go on to say. God has a plan. God has a plan for Paul. But God has also a plan for people to influence Paul. God has a plan for every one of you, and he has plans for people in your lives. But he also has plans for those people to speak into you, and plans for you to speak into them. It's part of your assignment. It's a part of your giftedness. It's a part of the overarching call of God in our lives. And what I think was so important about just even thinking about worshiping today and moving to this new year is to ask the question, how are you going to look at things in a new, fresh way? How are you going to look at your job in a new, fresh way? How are you going to look at financial difficulty in a fresh, new way? How are you going to look at the problems and the struggles that we will continue to move in and move through in a different and new, fresh way, and to make that commitment today in such a way to say, God has called me, but he's also has assignments for me this week. So that when we come to the end of the year, and December 31st, I can look back and say, gosh, look at all the ways that God raised me up, used me in the assignments that God's given to me. Some of you have retired recently, and the question is what are you going to do with your time? What are you doing with your time? Some of you say, I'm more busy than I've ever been. I understand that. Maybe so. But there's such great opportunities for a new assignment for you. Assignment that God will give you. If you're facing a new job or you don't have a new job yet, listen, look at it not as the job to provide the money that you need, but look at it as to provide the opportunities to see kingdom advancement. Now, I want you to notice something. Saul is an enemy of Christ. He will go on to say that he was the worst of sinners, and God saved him so that it might be shown to all that God can save the worst of sinners. But I want you to look at verse 10. There was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Get up, now watch, and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. And he, that's Saul, has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he may regain sight. But Ananias answered and said, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind us all up, all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and that you may be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight, and he got up, and he was baptized, and he took food, and he was strengthened. The assignment of Ananias. What was that assignment? First of all, it's your assignment and mine. It's just got a different face to it. A different time, a different person, a different place. It's the same. For Ananias, it was to be the first Christian influence in Paul's life. The first Christian influence in Paul's life. And your assignment tomorrow will be to influence lives. To be, Bible calls us salt, is that right? He calls us salt. What does salt do? It influences what you put the salt on. I mean, it makes things salty, it makes things tasty, it preserves meat, and it keeps you from slipping on ice, right? Salt has great influence. And he said, you're salt. What does light do? Well, my word, every one of us know what we do without light. We grope. You've done it at night when the light's off. But just think about that being your whole life. Light influences the darkness. Salt influences corruption. And your assignment tomorrow will be to influence lives. Who are you going to see tomorrow? Who are you going to spend time with tomorrow? Who are you going to work for tomorrow? And who's going to work for you tomorrow? Where are you going to be in your home with your children and the opportunities that will be? Some of you students will be going back to school soon. Not tomorrow as a high school or junior high student, maybe in a couple of days or a couple of weeks. What kind of influence will you have? That's your assignment, Cottonwood, to influence lives. Ananias would be the first Christian presence in Paul's life to influence him as a new believer in Christ Jesus. Can you imagine having that assignment? Can you imagine having that assignment? To be the first Christian influence. Can you imagine having that opportunity in people's lives that you don't even know where they're heading? I mean, we know a little bit, Ananias knows a little bit about where Paul's heading, but he doesn't know the full ramifications of what Paul's going to do as he writes most of the New Testament, but he will be the first man on assignment in Paul's life. Will you happen to be the first assignment in someone's life tomorrow? To share faith with, to bring to Christ, to begin to disciple, to begin to love? You never know who you're going to see tomorrow. You never know what's going to come your way. You know, never know what life's going to intersect that you get to influence that will go on to do great and mighty things for the kingdom of God. You having a part. What will your assignment be tomorrow? What will it be? Just look at your schedule tomorrow and begin to plan it out. Begin to say, God, give me these opportunities to be the first Christian influence in this person's life or just to influence them in any way. And it might mean a word of encouragement. It might be a scripture that you're to share. It might be even a rebuke of somebody that's come along and you got enough clout in their lives that you're able to say, hey, shouldn't be living that way. Shouldn't be walking that way. Shouldn't be talking that way. Assignment. Influence lives. Ananias influenced, was the first Christian influence in Paul's life. The second thing was, for Ananias, was to meet a basic need for Paul. And that need was sight restoration. Now I know that's a basic need, right? I mean, it's I tell you what, it becomes a whole lot more than basic when you happen to be someone who's going blind. But Paul's blind, he can't see. This light has blinded him. He has seen the glory of God, and physically it has blinded him. And Paul and Ananias is being spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ to say, I need you to go influence his life, and I need you to go meet a basic need. And for him, it's sight restoration. But is that not all of our assignments when we're reaching people in darkness? Maybe it's not restoration because they've never seen, but to give them the opportunity to see the gospel in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, through your life and through your words. Tomorrow you'll be called to meet basic needs in people's lives. Unless you don't see anybody tomorrow, unless you're somewhere on a ranch somewhere in the middle of nowhere and you're on your horse somewhere, right? But I don't think that's going to be many of us. But you're going to see somebody tomorrow that has a basic need to be met. It might be a physical need. It might be an emotional need. But I guarantee it'll always be a spiritual need as well. Because we all have spiritual needs, is that not right? But you have the great opportunity tomorrow to see with the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ and to make yourself available to be on assignment for him. Ananias was going to go and was going to meet a basic need of Paul. He was going to speak into his life. He was going to tell him what was going to happen in his life. And that's really the third thing. The third thing is to declare God's purposes. To declare the mission and assignment given to him, that's what Ananias would do. Now, there's a couple of things about this that I want to say about Ananias. First of all, we know that he's a believer. The Bible calls him a disciple. Okay, he's a disciple that's living in Damascus named Ananias, verse 10. Now, Paul was actually, of course, going to Damascus to persecute the church, finds Christ, and becomes a believer in Christ, but he's met by a Christ follower. Ananias is a Christ follower. Now, you know, it's real interesting because we live in an age and we live in a culture that likes to separate disciples from Christians. We're all Christians, all of us in this room, okay, who claim Christ, we're Christ, but not all of us are disciples. Wrong. You're all disciples. Matter of fact, when the Bible, when these folks come to Christ, that's all they're known as, is disciples. They're never known as disciples until Antioch. When the folks in Antioch decided to say, hey, those are Christians. And it was a derogatory term at that. A derogatory term to say, look at those little Christs. Who do they think they are? And really, part of the persecution was labeled in something in derision and in mockery. But the believers and the disciples of that day thought that was an honor and said, go on and call us Christs. Go on and call us little Christians. We'd love to bear that name. So you need to understand that in the very basic beginnings of Christianity, no one was called Christians. They were all called disciples. But somehow, in a culture that we live in, we want to separate that from it and say, okay, here are the masses of Christians, and then there's a few here, over here, and over here that are really the disciples of Christ. No! You're all disciples of Christ. You're all Christ's followers if you name the name Jesus. And that's why we speak so much of holiness and repentance and moving on with God. It's because we're all called to that. We're all called to disciple. Are we all not all called to love God with all our hearts, mind, soul, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves? Are we not all called to that? Are we not all called to the Great Commission? Yes! Disciples make disciples. I mean, he could have easily said, and you're going to go and you're going to make Christians. No, he said disciples. A Christian is a disciple. A disciple is a Christian. And if you got some kind of little old doctrine out there that kind of separates the two, man, you need to get a new doctrine. Because we're all disciples of Christ. Yeah, we're on different levels. And some of us can be carnal sometimes. Okay? Some of us can live in a carnal lifestyle and not be doing the things we need to be doing. But you are still a disciple if you have the Spirit of God living in you. Ananias is a disciple. He's a believer in Christ. Second thing about it is about Ananias, and about he's a man who hears God. I love this fact that there's this conversation going on, and God's saying, hey, I want you to do this. And yet there is an objection. He objects to some extent to say, you know what, this guy is a murderer. He has authority from high priests. And I don't want to be caught in his sight. Oh, but guess what? He gets to get caught in your sights. Who's going to be caught in your sights tomorrow? I'm not talking about taking your Bible and thumping somebody with it and being obnoxious with it so that they run from you the rest of your life. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being light and salt. Talking about being this influence for Christ. And I just want to ask the question is, are we going to hear God about some of these things? Are we going to hear God? God, I want to know. I want to have conversation with you. I want to have an intimacy with you to hear the Word of God. And when you look at the book of Acts and you look at the Christians living in these days, I mean, they were hearing God. This man heard God. But also, not only did he hear God, he was a man of faith and power. He hears the Word, he believes the Word, and he calls to bring this healing to Paul's eyesight, and he has the power to do it. He has the equipment of God to do it. He's equipped to do what God's asked. And if whatever God asks you to do, he will equip you to do it. He will empower you to do it. He's also a man of action. Receives the assignment. There's no grass growing under his feet. Matter of fact, he said, listen, you know what's happening right now? What's happening that's so exciting is he's seen a vision himself, and he's seen a man named Ananias is going to come to him. He knows that. So he is a believer. He's a believer in Christ. He's a disciple of Christ. Very, 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 very important. He is also a man who hears God, a man of faith and power, a man of action, a man who's equipped. Now, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 22, and I know we're going over a little bit this morning, but I want to finish this message out because Paul mentions Ananias in his testimony. Acts chapter 22, verses 1 through 15, and he's talking about his conversion, and he's talking about it, and in verse 10, it says, "And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, get up and go into Damascus, and there you will be told of all that has been appointed for you to do. But since I couldn't see because of the brightness of the light, I was led by the hand of those who were with me and came into Damascus. A certain Ananias, a man who was devout by the standard of the law, was well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me and standing near said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And that very time I looked up at him, he said, "The God of our fathers has appointed you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear utterances from his mouth, because you will be a witness for him to all men of what you have seen and heard. Now, why do you delay? Get up, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on his name." I want you to notice something in closing. Notice what he says. He's declaring to him the purposes of God for him. He's appointed you to know his will. Has God appointed you to know his will? Everybody do that, yeah. He has appointed you to know his will. Great, great thought, isn't it? The God of all ages has appointed to know. He's appointed us to know what the will of God is. To know what is right. To know the directions we're to move in. He's appointed that. And then he says to know his will and to do what? To see the righteous one. Has God appointed us to see God? Absolutely. Absolutely. The opportunity to open the Word and see God, and then to see God at work. Notice the next, to hear an utterance from his mouth. You see God, you speak to God, God speaks to you. It's what we call prayer. Conversations with God. You've been appointed to that. Every one of us in this room. Verse 15, you will be a witness for him to all men of what you have seen and heard. Have we all been appointed to testify of what we have seen and heard? Would you nod your head yes? Yeah. Are you going to be on assignment tomorrow? I don't know about you, I want to be on assignment. And you know, whatever God's asked you to do, whether it's going to South Africa to work on a research farm, or to work with international students in Oregon, or to show up at the emergency room where you're working, or to show up at the school that you're teaching at or working at, or the restaurant that you're selling food to, or the house you're wiring, or the sign you're painting, or the coffee you're making, right? Yeah. And we could go on. I'd love to name everything, all that y'all do. But we're on assignment tomorrow. We're on assignment. Just in closing, just a few things. I think first thing is to ask the question, am I truly following Christ? Am I a follower of Christ? The crowd this large, there'd be evidently some people that don't know Christ. Never believed. Am I a follower of Christ? Do I follow him? Is that what I want to be defined as in my Christian life? I'm one who follows Christ. Second, you have a calling from God and you're equipped to perform it. Third, listen for and seek daily direction from the Holy Spirit. And then always be available, always be ready, always be flexible to give an account of the hope in Christ you have, because you never know the depth and breadth of your influence. Sunday school teacher, you don't know who you're teaching really and where that child's destined one day. Workers on the square, youth workers, hey, even adults that you're working with, you never ever know the depth and the breadth of your influence. Assignment. You're on assignment. Let's pray together. Father God, we come before you. We thank you so much for the day. We thank you so much for the assignments that we have this coming year. And Lord, I just ask that you would just excite us about all the things that you have for us. That it'd be the most significant year for our lives, our marriages, our family, our children, our grandchildren, our church, our communities, the places that you've called us to. God, all those places, but Lord, the presence in our homes and in our jobs, the places in our businesses that you've given to us. We want to be on assignment. And I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that we'd go from this place believing that you've called us and that you've assigned us this week to some very exciting places and exciting events. And we'll thank you for it and bless you for it. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com.